Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 3, day 4 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 9, 1 through 14. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're enjoying the 10-Week Bible Podcast, I encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Study Series in print. You can find easy links to buy them on Amazon by going to 10weekbible.com. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? Speak to us from your word. Fill us with your word. Fill our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of your servants, and you go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalishah, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then they passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. Let's pause right there. This is very interesting that Saul is on such a long quest for donkeys. Now, surely these donkeys were worth something. They were very valuable to his father Kish at this time. But it's very strange that he's traveling all over the place looking for these donkeys. I mean, certainly at some point it almost seems like Saul has forgotten the donkeys and has given into a little bit of wanderlust here, just traveling around and maybe enjoying himself for a while. Whatever the reason, he's traveled far and wide, and these donkeys have taken him far away from home, and he's been gone for quite a while now. And that is going to lead us to how he ends up finding the donkeys, which isn't really a big deal, and what leads us into the narrative that takes us through the rest of the book of 1 Samuel. Of course, we know that Saul is going to become king. And again, if you're reading this, I encourage you to read this once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. And you'll have already read this several times now to know that Saul becomes king. It doesn't work out really all that great for him or for the nation of Israel. But again, remember in the last passage, Samuel warned the people of what Saul was going to be and what the king was going to do. Let's jump back in here and keep going. This is verse 5. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us." But the servant replied, "Look, in this town there's a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take." Saul said to his servant, "If we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered him again, "Look," he said, "I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take." Formerly in Israel, if someone went to inquire of God, they would say, "Come, let us go to the seer," because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. "Good," Saul said to his servant, "come, let's go." So they set out for the town where the man of God was. Now, of course, we know that they're talking about Samuel, the man of God. They're going to look for the prophet Samuel. Now, an interesting little side note here in verse 9, it says in parentheses, it says formerly in Israel, if someone went to inquire of God, they were called the seer. And what this is, this parenthetical statement here is basically pointing out an anachronism that we have in the book of 1 Samuel, because when 1 Samuel was written, it would have referred to Samuel as a seer. That's what they called prophets back then. That's what it's saying. And so at some point later on, because no one would have known what a seer was, because that terminology had completely changed by the time that whatever version we have of 1 Samuel now, this parenthetical section, this parenthetical statement was added to say in the old days, someone went and looked for a seer, but now we call them prophets. So Samuel is one and the same, a seer or a prophet, someone who sees, someone that the Lord lets see into the supernatural realm, whether that be literally by visions or that the Lord allows them to quote unquote see, either auditorily, you know, by hearing, but seeing into the future or seeing into the lives of others. That's what we're talking about here. Samuel can see into people's lives, into situations, because the Lord has given him that ability. Another thing that I want to point out here, and this is something that I think is very tragic, and it's not necessarily anything I think wrong with Saul in particular, but the fact that Saul brings this up and then the servant, you know, is on board with this, he agrees with this, is tragic, I think. The fact that Saul says, hey, we don't have anything to give to the man of God. If we go to ask of him, to inquire of the Lord, what are we going to give? How are we going to pay for that? And, you know, on its surface, that may not sound all that bad. You know, it's like, why not take the man of God a gift? Why not go to the man of God who's going to inquire for us and offer him something? I mean, to be nice, that seems cordial. That seems, you know, that seems responsible. But what in the end, it's really bad. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to go and try and pay for someone to inquire of the Lord for you. And that's what Saul and his servant are doing. And the reason they're doing this, and I think we have to understand the cultural context of this, is remember that Samuel's sons were taking bribes for judgments. They were perverting justice by taking bribes. And that's the world that Saul and his servant are in right now, is the judges of Israel, the people who are governing Israel, are taking bribes, and they're Samuel's sons. So it would seem perfectly logical for them to say, well, hey, listen, if we're going to go see Samuel and inquire of him, we're going to have to pay him something, because that's the way things were running at this point. But the Lord, the voice of the Lord is a free gift. You cannot buy it. There's a story in the book of Acts where a man named Simon the sorcerer saw the powerful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit that that Peter was partaking in, the things that he was doing, and he went up. He became a believer. He trusted. He said he wanted to follow the Lord, and then he went up to Peter and said, you know, hey, what can I pay you so that I can have the gift of the Holy Spirit as well? Now, from Simon the sorcerer's perspective, you would think that, well, that's a perfectly natural thing. He's just not in tuned with how Christians work, how the church works, is that, no, you can't pay for that. And Peter could have said, well, hey, listen, it doesn't work like that. But Peter supernaturally sees into his heart and says, listen, I see you're wicked and bitter, as in, may your money perish with you. Well, on the spot, Simon the sorcerer repents and said, I'm sorry, you know, don't let any of this happen to me. But the point is, Peter tells him, listen, you can't buy this. It's not for sale. You cannot buy the Lord to intimidate him or influence him. You cannot pay him, nor should you be able to pay the man of God who walks with that anointing or that authority. Now, Paul tells us that, yes, a workman is worthy of his wages, that we should fund people on missions and things like that. But this is a bit different. It's the heart behind this. Saul is in the same way saying, well, hey, this corruption has laid hold in his heart, in the same way that Simon the sorcerer, this corruption, this bitterness that, hey, you've got to buy everything. You got to pay for it if you want it. You know, you got to pay to play. That kind of corruption was in Simon the sorcerer's heart, and Peter pointed it out. And that same kind of corruption is in Saul's heart here. Saul wants to go pay for the word of God to find these donkeys. This is not good. This is not good. He may have come by that, honestly. He may have come by that understanding because that was the world he lived in, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you live in a place where corruption is the norm. You cannot give in to it. Everyone, every single person has a conscience, and they know the difference between right and wrong, and corruption, paying for these kinds of things, is always wrong. It doesn't matter if it's normal. It's always wrong. And Saul has given into this, and this is the first peek into Saul's character. This is the first peek into who Saul is that he is willing to pay. He's willing to bribe the Lord for information. That's basically what it comes down to. He may not have seen it that way, but when you get right down to the brass tacks, that's what's going on here. This is not good. Let's jump back in to verse 11. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water, and they asked them, "Is the seer here?" "He is," they answered. "He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up. Now you should find him about this time." They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now understand here that Samuel has been told by the Lord to be here. Samuel is here on purpose, and he's not really here for the sacrifice. I mean, he's going to do that. He's going to take preside over this sacrifice, but what he's really here for is to meet Saul. The Lord has tipped Samuel off, go here, be here, and I'm going to bring you the person that is going to govern Israel. It's going to rule Israel. You know, it's very fascinating. The Lord, the way he does these kinds of things, he knows how to put people in the right places. I mean, you know, Saul has traveled all over. He's traveled so much further than what it would seem necessary to find these donkeys, but it's all been a setup by the Lord to bring him here. And for this exact moment in time, the Lord used all of these things in place. He brought Saul together. He brought Samuel together for this. When the Lord has purpose, when the Lord has prophetic purpose and destiny for something, it's going to happen. The Lord loves our partnership. He loves it when we say yes, but when the Lord has prophetic destiny and prophetic timing, he will use our no against us to accomplish his will. He'd rather use our yes, but he can use our no. He can use our oblivious wandering, like Saul is doing here, to accomplish his will and his purposes and his plans. So when we rest our hearts in the Lord, when we seek the Lord with everything in us, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we can know, we can have confidence that the Lord is going to be there for us. He's going to break in that moment when he has plans. He loves our partnership, but we can always trust that he is working everything together for the good of those who love him. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me on the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you did. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.